Father in heaven, we thank you again for the day. We thank you for this time, blessed time to be in the house of God. And Lord, as we open this precious book again, we ask for the wisdom that's needed, for the power that's needed, for the understanding, for the unction of the Holy Spirit of God to help us, dear Father, depart and give that which is needed from this body of flesh to these in the audience, also by radio, also by the Ustream. Dear Lord, that we may not only come to know you as Savior, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And in these last days, when people are trying their best to distort the Word of God, change things around, even make accusations about who we are and what we do certain times during the year because they understand some things have happened in the world. And Father, sometimes Christians who believe the gospel have grown enough to really be able to take a stand to show why they still believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And I pray now this service today in the next 2 weeks, two-part service, Lord, you'd give us some understanding. And I pray some people would grow again deep in the Word of God so we'd be able to give an answer to any of the questions that may come up along these lines. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much. If you will, take your Bible, first of all, and turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And what I want to do is something that's entirely unusual. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that God wants His children, after they come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, He wants them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, as Peter tells us, for the purpose of being able to give an answer why we believe what we believe. We live in an age today so enlightening, though. There's so many things that have been written in history, and they're able to go and get information so fast that some people seem to be looking for all the information they can to counteract, to try to show why people ought not to believe in Christ rather than believe in Christ. And they go pick up historical writings that had been written in the past and realize there's some things about Christianity in the early church that established that in our day today, you go back and you wonder why in the world, because the day it's established on is a day that which is really not, in the eyes of the world, a pretty good day for that event. And I'm going to be talking about the birth of Christ a few minutes to get into this message. But I want you to look with me, if you will, in Acts chapter 7, verse 2 and 3. And these are the verses, and we'll be looking at in detail more with others in the next few days. The day's kind of like the introduction. Here we see the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 17. If you look down in verse 2 and 3, Paul's at Thessalonica. He's come and went into the synagogue, according to verse 1, of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, I love that. In other words, the Apostle Paul came on the Sabbath day. He was in the synagogue. He went somewhere else. He realized that's where he needed to be, and that's where God gave him the opportunity to begin with to preach to the Jews. And notice he said, he went into them, and their three Sabbath day reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Now, keep in mind, the only Scriptures they had was the Old Testament. And when you read these, you understand, we have, isn't it an amazing thing? We ought to be reasoning with people today because we have more than just the Old Testament. We have the record of the New Testament, which gives us more truth, can be read where the Holy Spirit can use, plus the fact we have the Holy Spirit working the gospel of Jesus Christ to draw people to the Lamb of God so they can come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and then move into their heart in turn where they can understand Scripture when it's taught and when they are looking to understand it. Now watch. How did he reason? Now, when I talk about reason with the Scripture, isn't it amazing? Because I know to understand this better in Luke chapter 24 on that road to Damascus when Jesus appeared after his resurrection to his men going back to Emmaus. You remember that when the time came, they were concerned and he was concerned about them because they seemed to be worried about something. He asked them what the trouble was, just paraphrase a little bit. And he said, don't you know? And he went in talking about Jesus Christ, how he'd come and how he'd died and was buried. And now they can't find his body. Now, this is exactly what Jesus did that Paul's doing here years later. And Jesus only had the Old Testament. By the way, he knew what was coming in the New Testament because he's God. But on the other hand, he shows us when you use what you have as Scriptures, it's not opinions, as Scripture to believe what you believe so you can teach that to others if God puts you in that position to do so. And so here, Jesus in verse 27 said, in beginning in Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself. In verse 14, he said, these are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, and were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, Jesus used the Old Testament, and Apostle Paul here, yes, he speaks to Thessalonica, this time he's using the Old Testament, for God has not used them to write anything about the new. And here's what he said. He opened and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And the emphasis here is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And so he preaches and he uses a scripture he has until the Holy Spirit gives them more to verify what Christ has even done as they've seen on Calvary. They understand it better that they're teaching about Jesus Christ. Now, if you look with me also in Acts chapter 18 in verse 5, now we see they've been to Corinth. The church has been started there. And verse 5 says, and then Silas and Timotheus were come to Macedonia. Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was, watch, Christ. And there again, emphasis is the Christ. Now, press simply means that he was constrained. Or there's something that God did to his heart. He compelled him with a force to begin to preach that he knew about Jesus Christ. And when he began to use the scriptures again for that, he used it only in the fact to tell these people who Jesus Christ really was. Life would come later. You have to have life before you can know how to live it. You can't live the physical life without being born into the physical world. And you can't live the spiritual life without being born into the spiritual world. And only God can do both. He set up procreation for physical life. He set up spiritual birth for spiritual life. And therefore, one's needed to get in this world, and the spiritual life is needed to get in God's world. That is the spiritual world. And that's where we're headed for eternity. And then verse 18 again, he said, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and they publicly. Now, here is where Apollos comes in at Ephesus. Aquila and Priscilla down there listened to Apollos preach. Kind of like we went this past Thursday night and heard preaching. And all of a sudden, this man, Apollos, got up, and the only thing he knew, according to verse 25, was the baptism of John. And he was preaching that with all of his heart. And what he was said was true up to a point. And Aquila and Priscilla, I can imagine them sitting there knowing the truth. They were squirming, I'm sure, and wonder what in the world can we do. But they kept their peace till it was over with. And afterwards, they went to him and began to tell him more truthfully about Jesus Christ. And they heard and they took him aside, he said, and expounded to him the way of God more perfectly. And then he turned about face and began to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And watch, in verse 28, for he mightily convinced the Jews that publicly, showing by the scriptures what scripture he had, the Old Testament. Showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. And the is there, though it's Christ, not it's just Christ, but in the writing of the emphasis, it is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one that should actually come. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I want to start with this morning is talk a little bit about this thing. I want you to see that Jesus Christ, or Jesus is the Christ. There's none other. When you look at this man being born 2,000 years ago, he is the Christ. He is the promise from the Old Testament. He is the anointed one. He is the one who can take away our sin. And these men were preaching him. We live an age to 2,000 years later, though, that through the years in religious system, things have happened, and we take up kind of the culture of bringing some things over because I've just been, it's just been done, you know, down through the years. It's not uncommon today to go out and start witnessing someone today and they'll say, well, now, who is this? You say, well, don't you know? He was born 2,000 years ago. Oh, he was? Well, what day was he born on? They're thinking, you know, they know we can't find the date in the Bible. There, you know, December 25th is not in the Bible, folks. And so what do they come? They drive out of the air some historical things have been written in the past. And most of them will tell you, but you know, the amazing thing, this Jesus you're talking about, he had to be born on a pagan holiday. If you have what you're saying, why would you believe in a Christ that was born on a pagan holiday? And they begin to throw stuff back. And unless we're familiar, right? I'm talking about in our age. I mean, you didn't need 100, 200 years ago. But in our age, people have information as the instant of a touch of a finger. And they go to, you can sit down and talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 minutes, and they can get on the computer when you leave and find no, just about anything they want to find to deny what you just said. So we're going to have to know, there, no wonder God said you go preach the gospel and get them saved, but you teach them the word of God. But you know, sometimes we don't like the teaching. We like the gospel because that gets us to heaven. We don't like the teaching because the teaching tells us what we ought to be doing. And what this is what's so amazing about learning things of God. So if Jesus Christ is the Christ, then I need to understand some things about him. So when they come with me, all this information, and it's more so the day and ever, if you knock on many doors, you'll find this out. There are some of them will come up especially and try to degrade him because we don't have answers about what they say as far as his birth is concerned. So I want you to, let's go back, and I'm going to look at Christmas. Now, I know you don't talk about the birth of Christ except at Christmas time, but I'm going to talk about his introduction to this, so with this series of messages, we'll have information to understand. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what day you celebrate Jesus Christ's birthday. The thing about it is he needs celebrated. Amen. You can celebrate him on any day if you want to, because he was born in this world. Now, there's a reason why the date is used, and we're going to look at some of that. But here are some things that people talk about that what when it comes to Christmas and throwing out today. Some people say Christmas has always been a holiday celebrated carelessly. For millennials and pagans and Christians and even Jews have been swept away in the season's festivity, and very few people ever pause to consider the celebration of Christmas, meaning its history or its origin. All they think about is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's all we need to think about. But just in case someone thinks we don't know this other things, we need to know some things about it. And so there are some people who say, hey, we know on that day many things happened according to history from a pagan standpoint. But now he's talking about when we come to that place of Christmas time, we can't put it together. It throws us a curve somehow or another. And I want you to leave from here understanding that even though we celebrate Christmas on the 25th of December, there is a day he was born in this world, worth that day or not. And I can worship him on the day of the 25th of December and there be no paganism about whatsoever. Not be no worldism in it, praise God. Because I understand what it's there, and I know why he was born, and there's a time he was born. I guess any day you'd pick in the year, somebody would come back and say, you don't know what happened on that day, do you? I don't guess there's a day in the calendar of 365 days a year. If you go back in history, you can't find something that they say the pagans did on that day. What I'm trying to show you, folks, is something that if you listen carefully, you'll be blessed and be helped, I believe. Some people say Christmas celebrates the birth of the Christian God who came to rescue mankind from the curse of the Torah. It is a 24-hour celebration declaration that Judaism is no longer valid. That's not what I believe about it. Some people say that Christmas is a lie. There is no Christian church with a tradition that Jesus was really born on the December the 25th. Because we can't prove that anywhere other than what the Roman church gave us in the third, probably about the third century. Some people say that December 25th is a day which Jews have been shamed and tortured and murdered. Many of the most popular Christmas customs, including Christmas trees and mistletoe and other things, are modern incarnations of the most depraved pagan rituals ever practiced on this earth, they say. Many who are excited and prepared for their Christmas celebrations which would prefer not knowing about the holiday real significance. If they do not know the history, they often object that their celebration has nothing to do with the holiday whatsoever and the meaning, therefore, we're just going to have a lot of fun. But when you inject Christ into it, they can't have no fun. Well, I want to tell you something. I don't know what they care what calls fun, but I have a joyful time on the day of Christmas. I have around my family and everything else, and I'm so glad that I can say, I don't know when the day was, but there was a day. And since they've been celebrating it now for hundreds of years, why change it? Because we try to pick another day, it'd probably be a pagan holiday for somebody. I'm just trying to reason with you a little bit. Now, when I look at this, I see some things, ladies and gentlemen, that amazes me. And I've done a lot of historical study on this for weeks now to get us to this point. I hope you'll listen carefully. Many Bible scholars, I'm talking about the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the most amazing thing that's ever happened in humanity. Now, birth itself is not a phenomenon. It is in the sense that God created it, but did you know that birth is a natural thing? Everybody understands natural birth when it comes along. I mean, the dates are important reason why we have for Jesus Christ coming. And where we don't have the exact date, we do have some dates. But most Bible scholars say that Jesus was born in the fall. They believe in studying this outside of the other stuff, somewhere at the end of September or the 1st of October. Now think about that, and I'll come back in a few minutes, because there may be something there to that. I don't know if that's so or not. I cannot prove that so, but I'm telling you, in studying, some scholars said they believe this is the time due to what December the 25th is. Now, here's the thing. God Almighty teaches us that days, the exact day, we don't necessarily have to know, but we have to believe there was a day. That's what I'm glad sometimes. When I got saved, I remember the day, the hour, right the very point before I got saved. And some people come along and say, and that's the reason when we lead someone to the Lord, we put the date down. We put the scriptures down. They give them assurance and do our best to get them to understand that this is the day, if you really meant business with God, that you were born into the family of God. Now, if you're not meaning business with God, then this has no more than just joining the church. So there is a day. But I'm glad to say this to those who don't have the precise day. If there's a time ever you remember receiving Christ as your Savior, go to that time and claim that, because that's the time that God saved you, if He saved you. So you want to have a time that you're saved. So when I look at the scriptures, I understand. God said in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as white as snow. I believe that. I believe God, listen, I believe God wants to reason with people in this world with the gospel when it's given to be saved. And I believe God wants His children who are saved to let Him reason with us with this scripture that He's left us the age of grace, so we can understand there's more to being saved than just being saved to go to heaven, but while we're here occupying till Jesus comes, that we may be doing what we're able to do for His glory. We may not know the exact date that He was born, but we know He was born. And December 25th is as good a day as any other, because it's near to what we see as they studied in the early church in about the 3rd century. We know this, first of all, heaven is full of angels celebrating His birth in Luke chapter 2. We know exactly then the shepherds got over their fear in Luke 2:20, and they had to tell people about the good news when they saw this baby had been born and recognized that He was who God said He was. We also know the wise men 2 years later came from the east, according to Matthew chapter 2, and they rejoice over the birth of this great king. God has given us record of people who identified and made an effort to go and see this reality of the child being born. And they rejoice with the birth of this great king, even though he was a young boy, a little boy less than 2 years old, and they honored him with their time and their treasure. And by the way, so should we. Those kings did it, but we, have you been born again into the family of God? I'll tell you something. There's nothing in this world any greater than that. But Satan belittles it for us, that we either wonder about it or doubt it or don't know. And God is saying, listen, do you believe that what I said about being saved, that I save you? And if you're saved, you got to say, I do. Then He would tell us, then believe what I say about your life after you're saved. And I'll use that too, just as much so as anyone else. So December the 25th, ladies and gentlemen, is not mentioned in the Bible. The New Testament doesn't give us no date or year for Jesus' birth, but He does give us a time element. If you go and look in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, it places it in the days of King Herod. If you look in Luke 3, verse 1 and 23, it indicates that Jesus turned 30 years old in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius. And yet, when we come down to the 25th, early celebrations of Christmas came from the Roman and emperor festivals that marked the end of the harvest and winter solstice. That simply means that the shortest day and the longest night of the winter time. The shortest day and longest night in each year happened. So this year, 2016, I looked it up, it's actually going to be on the 21st. But it was on the 25th, as near as they could tell. And in the northern hemisphere, we see it takes place in December. In the southern hemisphere, it takes place in June. And so when they looked this up, the best they could come up with in trying to figure out exactly the dates that the Bible did not give it, and looking at things of the heaven and other things, they began to look at this particular day. Take a birthday. My birthday is January the 8th. Elvis Presley's birthday is January the 8th. He's older than I am. I guarantee you I celebrate my birthday different than he did. I'm trying to lay a principle here. Don't tell me that I can't celebrate Jesus Christ's birthday on the 25th and it be what it ought to be since I don't have no other date. I don't have to go the way of the peg. I don't have to go the way of the world. I don't have to do the things they have to say. But I can give God honor on that day because there's a day I know he was born. And if I don't have any other day, then we've said that for years. Why should I try to change it? I know this is close. I thank God for that. I know there was a time when Jesus was born. I don't know anything that says that two people or two organizations cannot celebrate their existence on the same day. I just don't know that. And I believe in all my heart we can, as long as we know who Jesus really is. We must first focus on his birth. Babes in Christ need to know about the birth of Christ. There was nothing uncommon about the physical process of natural birth. By the way, there's nothing uncommon today about physical process of natural birth. The only thing about it is a miracle of God since he set it up through procreation from Adam. On the other hand, ladies and gentlemen, though, there is a tremendous thing about spiritual birth. The conception, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 34, was what was miraculous. It wasn't so much that Jesus was born physically, other than we know he was God, and to be God born physically, he couldn't have at Joseph's seed. The miraculous thing is, and this is what came to me, I thank God. God has let me see some things today that helps me in my longevity of study the Word of God, that helps me see. I can't prove some things I'm fixing to say, but I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't surprise me that God hadn't done something to trick this world who's trying to deny when Jesus was born on a certain day. And when I began to read that these scholars said, well, we think it's sometime around the latter part of September, the first part of October, set around the winter solstice, which would have been around the end of December. But the conception was a marvelous thing because the eternal Word of God was made flesh in John 1:14. The great Creator became, who was God, became a man. Now that's a supernatural thing. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 7 tells us this. He talks about him coming in the flesh. He says in verse 7, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, that is a slave, and was made in the likeness of man. Now, there was a time that Jesus was born. On the other hand, the conceptions are so important that Gabriel had to come and tell Mary how it was going to happen. And what God did, you understand birth, which 3 months ago I preached a message about birth in physically, and you understand also spiritual birth in line, but if you understand that science tells us for birth to come, there is a Y chromosome that comes from the man, and the X chromosome comes from the woman. And these two together come together, and when you do, you have a person being born, either male or if you have one way, it's a male, another way, it's a girl. In this case, though, when God came down, you remember when Gabriel went to Mary and said, look, this thing born of you is going to be of God. How can this be? She said, I've never known the man. And he gave her this instruction that the Holy Spirit was going to overshadow her. And though she didn't understand at the time what was happening, when he left, she would have the seed of God. And here's the thing. If God made man like he did to have the Y in turn that to generate the man, then God had to plant the Y chromosome in her for her X chromosome at that time for this child Jesus to be born, who would be the Son of God to dwell in that body. Now here's the thing, I'll leave this, and I can't prove this, but it's a good thought to throw to somebody who can't really prove what they're saying. Let's suppose it would be in September or the latter part of September, the first part of October. You know how long it takes for a child to produce in a mother's body? Tell me. About how many months? 9 months. Let me ask you something. If it is in September, and I can't prove this, but if it is, I can't prove December 25th, but I'm going to celebrate it because that's the day that's been set aside for centuries. But let me say, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if God all of a sudden tricked this world and it would be September or October, but he didn't let them know that, because if it be case, he cannot be born without conception. He cannot be born without the seed of God. December the 25th. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. How many is that? 9 months. Wouldn't it be an amazing thing if God said, hey, you thought about the date, but I got the conception, because that's really when he came. It takes a conception before you have a birth. Wouldn't it be an amazing thing if God would say, I just tricked the world their own game? You say, well, if I believe that, I'd change it. Why should I change it? Because if I change it, say September the 28th or October the 1st, somebody would say, hey, let me tell you about another pagan situation. Because this world's got plenty of them. It don't change anything, and I can't prove that. But I'm going to tell you something that helps me. If a person ever comes to me again and tried to tell me that Christmas 25th is not the day of Christ's birth, I'm saying, you're right, but it's the best day. Let me show you why, probably. He's never heard this before, I guarantee you. And I believe it can trick that person in their own game. Because everybody knows you can't have a baby without conception. Praise his holy name. I thank God for what he does for us. And I say to you to give information, not do anything else. I'm telling you, Jesus, I don't have to have a date, but I have to have a time. I don't have to know the time, but I have to know there is a time. And there was a time that Jesus Christ, in the process of time, what we see of Herod and the dates he gives us about others who were ruling, that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, was born as God in the flesh. Now, believe that. Now, Joseph and Mary need credit for their faithfulness. Gabriel went in Luke 1, 32, and Jesus would be the son of the highest. He told Mary and told her how it would happen. Both Joseph and Mary had a visit from Gabriel. Both knew that God was Jesus' father in Matthew 1, 20. Both of them willingly obeyed God's instructions in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, Mary, in Matthew 1, verse 24. Did they not have the right to expect special favor from God, special recognition for their faithfulness and obedience? And yet Mary had to deliver the child in a manger of all places. Don't know if anybody else did that. They may have, but I don't know of anybody. They had no word of final verification other than the fact this is the way it's going to happen by the angel Gabriel. They had no word of final verification until the shepherds came to start with, and then the wise men came 2 years later. And the gifts that they brought sustained them while they had to go to Egypt. So as we remember our Savior's been born, may God help us remember Joseph and Mary for their steadfastness of their faith and what not wavering, their unwavering obedience as they face the harsh world. In Psalm chapter 40, verse 7 and 8, the psalmist said, lo, I come. Let me just read that to you. In Psalms chapter 40, down about verse 7 and 8. Scripture said, then said I, lo, I come in the prophetic view of Christ. Lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written to me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And then we see when you get to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, these are the words that Jesus said he came to do. He was the one that came, and this scripture spoke about. In 1 Peter 1, 18 through and 19 and 20, you see, he talks about Jesus being foreordained and we're cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 3, 17, the Bible says this, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. In John 6, verse 51, Jesus said he is the living bread that's given for people to have life. These verses tell us why Jesus Christ came. So we know for a fact that he was born, ladies and gentlemen. But when you come down to the place, where do we get this Roman thing? I'm giving an introduction, then we go back to look at the scriptures even in more depth. Roman pagans first introduced the holiday of Saturnalia, a week-long period of lawlessness celebrated between December the 17th and the 25th. Roman courts were closed at that time. Roman law dictated no one could be punished for damaging property or injuring people during the week-long celebration. In the 4th century, Christianity imported the Saturnalia festival, hoping to take the pagans' mass with it. In other words, in their observance, they felt if they did this, knowing that it was a pagan day, they could bring, and by the way, sometimes the church tried to do that, bring in them into the fold by being on the day that the birthday been on the day that these pagans worshiped the way they did. And it goes on. They were hoping that the pagans of mass would come into them. And then Christian leaders succeeded and converted to Christianity in large numbers of pagans by promising them they could continue to celebrate the Saturnalia as Christmas. But the problem was there was nothing Christian about it. To remedy this, Christian leaders named Saturnalia's concluding day, December 25th, to be Jesus' birthday. And so Christians had little success refining the practices of this pagan group. The earliest Christmas holidays were celebrated by drinking and sexual indulgence, and even some people running through the street naked because you couldn't be arrested on that day according to Roman law. And because of its pagan origin, Christmas was banned by the Puritans in 1659 to 1681. However, Christmas was still and is celebrated by most Christians today. And I say to you this, even though we know information what it's about, it's better to celebrate its birth because he was born. Since I don't know the day, I have no trouble with December the 25th because my heart's going to be where he's going to be worshiped as he should be worshiped for the glory of God. And so when I come to this now, I see Jesus appearing on the scene as we close out the first session of this. And next time we'll look at Jesus the Christ. When Jesus appeared on the scene, the whole Gentile world was in a state of idolatry. So you couldn't find anything else other than that at the time. A few years after Jesus' crucifixion, Israel was punished for rejection of him as the Messiah. In 70 AD, God let Titus come in of the Roman Empire and flatten the city because of their unbelief. Judah was destroyed and the people were scattered among the nations. In 1950 years plus years later, Israel was set free from the Turks and over colonization under the protection of the British Empire. After Jesus was born, within 3 centuries, many pagan temples were removed, and the name of Jesus Christ has influenced the known world down to this day. Yet today you will find that most of the existing knowledge of Jesus is extremely shattered and corrupted with erroneous views with respect to the teaching and missions on the earth. We have now the complete Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, be honest. How many read it that have it? And many folks are reading what they say the Word of God is not the Word of God because it's been changed so many times. So what they're doing is not learning anything much except that Jesus Christ saves. And it's good to know that, but probably the fact is, if a person doesn't understand more about Jesus than saved, they might think that they could help save themselves. I'm telling you, the God who preaches Jesus Christ through his people in this book is going to preach hell and fire and brimstone. A man who would tell you there's no hell or no fire in hell at all, or there's no lake of fire, ladies and gentlemen, tell you a lie, and what he's saying about Christ is not the real true Bible. Jesus Christ spoke more about hell than he did heaven. What I'm saying to you, Jesus is the Christ. Today, to have a true conception of Jesus Christ, I have to lay aside any notion that I have maybe learned in the childhood and turn to the Bible with an unbiased mind and search the Scriptures like Jesus said to do. For in them, he said, you find life. This must be done in a persistent, determined effort to find out just what they do teach about him. That is the Scriptures. So they will be our source. Ladies and gentlemen, the Scriptures are sufficient for us to obtain the knowledge that will make one wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. Verse 16 tells us they were inspired by God, so we can trust them. You don't get this knowledge by just reading the Bible, though reading the Bible is good. You don't get this knowledge by just occasionally attending and meeting the truth somewhere the Bible is taught, though that may be good. You get this truth by having a daily diet of this book, of asking God for instructions and position and what to do, and then obey him. if you know something that God says doing on a bed, don't expect God to come much at our rescue at times. He still loves us, but he wants us to know there's more to life than just getting saved to go to heaven. The scriptures are sufficient for us to obtain this knowledge. You do not get the knowledge by just reading the Bible. The reading the Bible is good. At least they're getting something there. There must be a continued daily application of the mind today, which is written. Today, religious leader, please hear this. Today, religious leader call upon people to have hope in Christ. They call them to have trust in Christ. They call them to take Jesus as their own personal Savior. But did you know, ladies and gentlemen, very little of those ever know really who Jesus really is? To them, he becomes a figure of imagination. Two thoughts I'm through this morning. 1 John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus said this. And this is the answer to what I just said. And this is life eternal. Jesus is talking now. I'll tell you something. Jesus saved us to give us that life of God and to show us how much he loved us, to help us in this life do what he wants us to do. So we'll know he's the only thing that matters. And Jesus said, this is life eternal. What is that? That they might know thee and the only true God and Jesus Christ. That's a walk. Whom thou hast sent. Now to know God and Jesus is not simply to be aware of their existence, but to know the attributes and the purpose of God and his plan. He's created good works for us. It's just not for just one or two. It's for the whole church. He tells us in his word some things. My people, he said in Hosea 4, 6. Listen, he said, my people, not the world, but my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why? Because thou hast rejected knowledge. I reject thee. He said, the knowledge that I've given you, you're rejecting, go on your own way. Why should I give you more knowledge? I'm teaching Bible now. You don't get this in revivals and camp meeting type meeting a lot of times. This is where God says you need to be taught after you're saved. Reason. God said, come, let us reason. Reason what God has said. Along with him and get with him and say, God, please give me, help me understand that this world confuses me. I don't want to be confused. God, please help me understand your will for my life. Don't let me get hung up somewhere or another on something in this world. Help me understand your will, not mine, your will in my life. He's talking about in nature, in character, in mission of Jesus. God said, my people are distorted for like a knowledge. Don't you think that that may be happening today, folks? Don't you think that may be something that's taking place? Psalmist said in Psalm 49, verse 20, man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. He said, man that gets honor here, human glory, that honor is human glory. It's gone like an animal when death comes. It's just that fast. We die, and it doesn't benefit one bit. The honor that we get from man in this life don't benefit us one bit. It might for a season, but that's about it. What God does is forever. Amen. And he wants us to look at the balance between the two. I want to read with you Colossians chapter 1. And what Paul said to this church. And this is what he said. This is what got me going this direction. This is getting my heart. He said in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now watch this, folks. Paul said, I pray since I've heard of your faith that you be filled with the knowledge. Watch what he said, of wisdom, of the knowledge of his will, notice, in wisdom and in spiritual understanding. Not only do you know what to do, but have the wisdom to apply it to do it. Now watch, why should he say that? Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. How? Unto all pleasing, being fruitful, watch, in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. The fruit you have, you apply, and you increase in the knowledge of God, and you grow. And you increase in the knowledge of God, and God gives wisdom. And you increase in the knowledge of God, so you can stand against the wiles of the devil, Ephesians teaches in chapter 2. So I say to you, I do not know the time. I don't know the date that Jesus was born. But I know there's a time. And since I know there's a time, God knows the exact time. Hey. I've got news for you. When we get to heaven, I'm going to know the exact time. You know, God does things to fool. He said his word is foolish to the world. And so God does some things sometimes to trick the world in their own game. And you're going to be surprised some things that God had did right before us. We didn't get it. Because what he did was something more than what we could see, and yet he can say to Satan, they don't get it all, Satan, but they just trust me, like Job. Right. You tell it all too want to about the date, but they're strong enough, they're going to know there was a time. They're going to know Jesus was born. And since they don't have another date, they just celebrate that day, because, hey, at least there's a day they set aside to back up the fact we know he was born. And that's in 2016. We can still do that. Hey, he was born 2016 years ago or more. Around that, around the, if it was around the first. What am I saying? I'm saying, I don't know the date, but I know there was a time. I suppose, again, and I close, that any date that one would celebrate Jesus' birthday would be on some pagan day or some way. So until I know otherwise, I'm not going to try to pick another. December 25th is okay with me. And I know how I'm going to celebrate. Would you stand to your feet? This is the first. Now next we're going to get into the reality of Jesus the Christ and see what God has to say to you. Bow your head. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, someone listening by radio, please listen to what we're saying. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, that's what it's all about to start with, is come to know Jesus as the personal Savior. This is a precious time. And if I was saved, I'd be here praying for everybody in here that's not saved, because I want you to go to heaven with me. I want you to know Jesus Christ. I can't make you trust him, but I can show you what he says to do to trust him. Would you let him? Maybe someone listened by the radio in just a few minutes. Maybe someone listening by Ustream now. God loves you. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. Then God wants us to be taught the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I may create enemies because I teach truth. But when I get to heaven, God will vindicate me. Because I wouldn't preach this if I didn't think it was truth. I believe that Jesus Christ had a miraculous birth. And since God teaches us, we found out that the X and Y chromosomes meet together with the lady's chromosomes. And the Y is the man's. And the X is the lady's. God performed a marvelous miracle that day by Gabriel and the seed. That where you fix a body as an incubator for the Lord Jesus Christ to be born in this world. That's how much he loved us. Knowing that he would go to the Calvary and die. Father, honor your word to us. Holy Spirit, exalt our Savior today, here, and wherever this is seen, for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.